she stood in the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey.
Welcome to the JRD Hogcast. I am your host, Dylan Lee, joined as always with my co-host Jordan Russell and our producer Luke Griggs. So that one wasn't quite a request, but got a little creative thanks to the lovely website that is soundsofbombs.com, and we're just gonna pick some random players. And at one point of the year, they had this as their walk-up music. It might change since then, or they've got multiples like a OPP, but that's kind of where it is.
We don't know what's going on with that walk-up music anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You tried to make a game out of it. I looked like a fool, and then it just went downhill.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, that's where we're at.
Me looking like a fool?
No, we keep winning series as a baseball team, and we're talking walk-up music. So
that's true.
Yeah, you know,
it's more interesting than, you know, a 2-10 football season. Walk-up music.
very true. So, we already, I mean, that was pretty much a live broadcast for game one of that series. So, picking that up, game two, where we were in attendance, a lot of good things to see for that one.
First and foremost, as everybody listening already knows, the crowd was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost literally shoulder to shoulder in the hog pen.
That one was 11,171, I believe.
Well, they put it on the board there, 11,714.
Oh, 714. There we go.
Yeah. You got a little
bit of
sexy there.
Good. Yeah, I was mixing. There was a lot of ones.
There was a lot of ones.
Yeah. I think it was 100,000.
That's what we thought it was, you know, but whatever. Real talk, it sounded like it at a few points in that game.
Yeah,
it was. You love the atmosphere in the hog pen. It gets a little crazy, but if anything I would change about the hog pen is just a little bit better crowd control. Not that anybody was being stupid, but just maybe kind of have a designated walking path or something like that. And maybe, I don't know, I guess if you get too much into that, then you kind of take that feel away that is the hog pen, so.
Yeah, I mean, there seemed to be some kind of decorum with it, the aspect of lines of chairs and whatnot, but they were just stacking up onto them. So it does get a little interesting to go back and forth. I did do the whole walk from hog pen to first baseline and saw some faces.
You got to meet somebody. What's his name again? I can't remember.
I believe his name was one Eric Musselman.
Man, you get to meet all the cool people. Well, I've gotten to meet quite a bit here lately, but.
But I did it inside Bomb, which we know is your place, essentially.
That is,
so.
I mean, it's Bomb Walker Russell Stadium at this point, right?
Blasphemy. You don't say that.
That's cool. You got to see, did you remember his name? The recruit that was hitting his head on the rafters?
No, it's escaping me right now, and someone's
gonna correct
me. I
put you on the spot,
I'm
sorry.
But yeah, the 7-2 every bit of it recruit that we had for basketball.
Yeah, did your neck recover from that?
Well, no, he was nice enough to pick me up and just keep me level there and just talk to me that way. So
you made that joke, not me. You took that right from me.
He towers you. He's 7-2.
I was about to say, I would be looking up at him.
I don't think anybody's just going to be like that. So.
Point of that story is there was some recruiting going on at the stadium.
There was some
cool
recruiting. Yeah, there definitely was. Well, he, you know, transfer portal and all that good stuff. So we'll see where that is. And he played in Fayetteville from Cal, and I'm just going to ramble until I figure out the name at this point. So,
well, if you're going to ramble, we can just give a recap, or I'll give a recap.
You give a recap, I'll look it
go
up.
Go and do all that. So, obviously, we got the series win against LSU. We beat them that night, 11-6. Wicklander, you know, did his job. We handled business with the bats, but kind of labored a little bit. It wasn't definitely wasn't his best outing, but Dylan's giving me the nod that he got his name.
Yeah. Well, this got him listed at 7'3", 220, Connor Vanover. And, I mean, he definitely looks like he's stretching that 220. But at that height, you're going to. So, but
at
continue.
Height, if you're not 200 pounds, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, anyway, so Wicklander, like I said, he didn't have, like, a bad game. There were some spots there where it was a little touch and go. But then Cops came in and would argue his best outing this whole season. I mean, they only got one hit off of him, four strikeouts, and he went a full four innings. And though it was, like I said, 11-6 win, and the last three runs for LSU came in at when Tress came in, who didn't even get an out, gave up three runs. So
yeah.
Then they put in the Bruiser, Cronin, and they went bye-bye.
They gone.
So, unfortunately, on Saturday, we didn't get the sweep. Connor Nolan did pretty well. Gave up four hits, but no earned runs, three strikeouts. We were kind of talking about this in the production meeting. We think Scroggins came in with a bases loaded situation in relief of Nolan. We might be off a base runner on that, but he ended up giving up two earned runs. But it was a close game, 2-3 loss. But like I said, series win, that's all that matters at this point. We're still sitting with a 2-game lead in the West. Got A&M coming up. We're a lock for a top four seed nationally at this point. I mean, it would have to be wheels fall off, everything goes right within the conference or in the nation at that point. I don't think the SEC tournament is huge for us.
No, not at this point. I mean, we're a lock for the four seed, which means we automatically get that bye. So won't have to play game one. And when it's a double elimination and saving your rotation, because honestly, the rotation, especially for that first game, is going to be interesting because we should be looking towards Omaha at this point and the arms that we're going to have back at Baum Walker, because we're definitely be hosting. But Scroggins actually came in. Where was that? He came in after a leadoff single, and then a ground out moved him to second. So there was only one guy on when Scroggins came in. But then
Why did we think that?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else came. I could have sworn someone came into a really terrible situation. Thought it was Scroggins.
But Scroggins, I think the first one he pitched to was actually a wild pitch. And, yeah. But he got out of that jam eventually of that inning. So.
But anyway, back to the national seeding side of things. I'm curious to see, because I saw an article. I didn't get a chance to read it. I actually have it bookmarked to read. But it was Van Horn talking about his strategy for the tournament, for the SEC tournament. I would imagine you want to get a win, obviously. But outside of that, kind of like what you were assuming we're kind of referring to, you don't want to burn your arms.
Now, if we win the SEC tournament, that puts us in a terrible position to win.
Pitching-wise.
Yeah, pitching-wise to win the national championship.
Right.
So. College World Series championship.
Whatever. Omaha Hogs.
Omaha Hogs, yeah. So, but going back to game two, because, you know, a lot of stuff went down besides seeing 7-2, 7-3, 7-7 guys, whatever.
Yeah.
And Reggie Chaney. I also saw him as well. But
good sign.
A lot of stuff going on. Going back to the hog pen, it was something wild, and I at the time, I just had to send the tweet out, and there was boys right by them grills drinking out of lighter fluid containers.
Well, now, see, you done ruined it, the way you worded that. So, at the time, there were boys drinking lighter fluid.
Yeah, that's exactly how we saw. So, we're just sitting there enjoying our game, and next thing you know, we're seeing what appears to be guys handing around lighter fluid, and at this point, we're like, okay, they're a little loose, and then they squirted in there like the football players going through the face mask with the water and the Gatorade bottles, but lighter fluid, and, ooh, buddy.
we observed that for quite some time.
Yeah, it's like, something we were just keeping our eyes on.
We're like, no, they're not doing that. And then we realized how, as you say, loose, I say trashed, they were. We're like, well, maybe. They might be drinking some lighter fluid. And I saw the light. A light hit it just perfectly, and I'm like, that's pretty dark for lighter fluid. Maybe not. Turns out, am I getting ahead of the story?
Well, yeah, go ahead with it. We'll go ahead and enlighten the folks on what was actually inside there. So.
Okay, so I had to go to the facilities because I was drinking beer, and I held it as long as I could. Couldn't anymore. Lines for that, by the way, are terrible. If you're listening and you have anything to do with Baumwalker Stadium, get more bathrooms, especially for the hog pen. But saw a guy walk by. I'm like, oh, I know him. Came back, told you, and we started texting the guy that we knew, ran into him. He was with that group of lighter fluid drinkers.
He was right there in front of us by that grill.
Didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And you found out from him that it's actually Fireball.
Yeah, it was the next day he enlightened me. He's like, hey, I just found out it was Fireball in that container. And there is so many things that went through my head. First of all, like, how ironic is that you're going to put Fireball in the lighter fluid container? Also, I feel like there's better ways to get it into bomb. I completely understand why they did it. You know,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, you got to smuggle when you got to smuggle.
And secondly, or thirdly, I guess, no matter how well you clean that thing or empty that thing, you're not going to get it all out. I mean, it's still lighter fluid. So,
now, coming from a guy who drinks, unlike yourself, Fireball is pretty potent, but I've never drank lighter fluid before or anything that lighter fluid has come out of. But I've smelt a lot of lighter fluid and gotten it on some clothes and stuff, and that stuff is pretty damn potent, too. So, I mean, you might be drinking fire fluid. I don't know how you would make that cocktail, but as bad as those guys looked off, I'm going to say they probably didn't taste any of it, period, at that point.
Oh,
Fireball or lighter fluid. So, that was funny. Dylan kind of got a little, how would you say it? A little private investigator-ish, kind of.
I just kept the eye there. I had one on the game, and I just kept peeking down there. Well, it's just one of those deals where you're not thinking about the logical thing of, oh, well, they were just trying to get their booze in. You're thinking, why?
Well, and again, in that crowd, that was amazing. I'll reiterate. You can't put it past some crazy hog fans to drink lighter fluid. Somebody might have lost a bet.
Yeah.
Somebody might just have interesting taste in what gets them drunk. I don't even know if lighter fluid would get you drunk. I have no idea. Don't want to find out.
I mean, kids are eating Tide Pods, so
that's,
I mean,
true. That's true.
Used so to you, eat Tide Pods. I don't know if that's still a thing, but
yeah, you never know. Bit of scary news happened. We had an elderly man fall out in front of us, terrifying. I mean, they got on top of him, CPR, resuscitate him. Luckily, hope all's well with him. If you know who you are, if it's one of your family members, we wish you all the best, praying for you. Hope he came out okay. But that was a pretty sobering moment also.
Yeah.
Pretty terrifying. That's kind of, I guess, aside from the fear of somebody, you know, in that situation, the crowd in the situation like that is just not ideal.
Right.
You know? Like you go to Baum Stadium, you go to the Hog Pen to have a good time, let loose, just, you know, watch the Razorbacks play baseball, and you don't really think about that kind of stuff being something that could happen. And the crowd's just, like I said, just not ideal in that situation. You got to get to them quick. And it took a little bit to get there. But again, that's kind of a one-off situation. You don't really plan for that kind of stuff. But anyway, nonetheless, praying for you. Hope you're okay. And get back out there and, you know, go enjoy your hogs like I'm sure you always do.
Well, don't really. I mean, prayers and all that, but it's tough to segue out of, so we'll just kind of do it.
Just reporting what we saw, boy.
Yeah. The softball team, the recap or the news on the softball team is that they are indeed postseason bound in this aspect.
They're girls.
that aspect, they are on their way to Cowgirl Stadium in Stillwater, Oklahoma, as the number two seed in that regional, and they are facing Tulsa. So,
we can't get away from that Oklahoma team in the daggum playoffs.
No.
One way or another. The funny thing out of this, well, again, congratulations, girls. You know, hopefully y'all can take care of business and get a little redemption from last year. They play on May 16th on ESPN at 5 o'clock for y'all that want to tune into that. I know we will if we're not working still. But the all 13 SEC teams made it to the postseason. I reiterate, all 13 SEC teams made it to the postseason.
Yeah, you're not misspoken there.
14, Dylan.
So this is a collective, I think. What?
Yeah, I mean, so as everybody knows, there are 14 SEC teams, and they worded it all 13. So like, somebody just didn't make it. There's a typo there. You meant 13 out of 14? No. Turns out Vanderbilt does not have
a softball team. Yeah. And I'm sure the 13 teams that don't have to face them. I mean, right? I can't imagine. Never mind.
Why though? That's intriguing to me.
I feel like no matter what, if you're in the SEC, you should have the funds to field a softball team. I mean,
is
I understand.
A fun thing?
I would assume so. I mean, why?
Like, I don't know. I'm just asking.
It's not like they're flukes at baseball. I mean,
no, they're sitting above us right now.
Yeah. I mean,
just kind of our reaction right now you're hearing is kind of what when we realize it's like, okay.
Yeah, and I'm sure people have follow softball and all that good stuff are like, these guys are just figuring out that there's 13 teams. Well, I'm sorry that I don't keep track of Vanderbilt softball.
Right, you just naturally assume an SEC school has all the sports.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, we have a hockey team.
Well, it's not, never mind. I won't get into the logistics of the hockey team because it's not, well, it's weird divisions and whatnot. And I mean, technically we have a lacrosse team too, but they're just like a step above intramural. And hey, hockey and the lacrosse team are really great in their perspective. In their leagues, where they're at in that level of play, but it's not SEC play because the SEC can't field a whole conference of hockey. So,
but I said we have a hockey team. I didn't say what conference it was in.
Yeah, exactly.
I assumed SEC, but yeah. Nonetheless, that was intriguing to me, and I'm actually going to do some research as to why. If the listeners don't care, then you don't care. I'm sorry I'm still harping on it, but I want to know why.
You learn something every day and just
every
expand
day.
On that.
Exactly.
So just to kind of fill in some folks, because there are some, you know, sports that don't get a lot of love across the sports world or sports media or whatever you want to call us, podcasters, all that good stuff.
The best.
golf. We've got the Division I championship that is actually local. Starts off on the 17th, and that's going to be at the Blessings in Johnson, Fayetteville area off of 112 in Northwest Arkansas. And so it's kind of cool. We get to host that. And what was it? The golf teams, the male side's up there right now.
They're sitting fourth at 2 under right now.
In their current one, the current tournament that they're in. But and then the track team just keeps doing what they're doing on the women's side. And another SEC championship on the outdoor side of things. And keep on winning. The Triple Crown.
They swept that this year, right?
Yeah.
So that was cross-country, indoor, and outdoor track. Out of one of those three, they are 15 of the last 16. And winning at least one of those three.
Yeah.
15 of the last 16 seasons. That's crazy. That must be what Alabama fans feel like.
All right.
For the people that are hardcore into the track world, which I'm a guy that if I see a Razorback sport of any kind doing well, I'm excited about it. It's good. It's good for the college, good for the university and all that. But there are obviously individuals who follow golf real close, track real close, soccer, so on. So for those people, it's probably what Alabama fans feel like for football.
Exactly. They've got the women's side. Ooh, hitting microphones and stuff. Sorry about that. I just knocked that. Yeah. On the women's side, what we're talking about here, they've got a girl on there. Chadwick is her last name. I think it's Peyton Chadwick. And she, I don't know if she did it on the SEC championship or not, but she ran like six events in one of the tournaments or something of that nature. And that's kind of Iron Woman-ish at that point. So that's pretty cool. And again, just congrats to the women. And if you get a chance, if golf is your thing, go watch you some golf at the Blessings.
So. Not a huge golf guy, but...
Hey, those are some really nice courses. Between the Blessings and Champions and Rogers, really nice courses when they've got them going.
Full disclosure, never heard of the Blessings before today. That's cool that it's local.
Well, did you know that with pretty much, I think, every coach's contract, you know, I'm talking about the major ones that I know of, Musselman, Morris, and I think Neighbors has his in there.
Van Horn, yeah.
They all have a membership to a certain one of their, one of the country clubs of their point. And the Blessings, one of them, Champions is another, and I think Shadow Valley. So that's all, written into the contract. And
like then, they get to play there for free?
Yeah, it's part of their contract. And I think it's a either or, and you can even pick a membership at Fayetteville Athletic Club or something like that, too. One of those weird things that's in their contracts.
Yet another thing I learned today. Keep it coming, Dylan.
I'll try.
You're great.
So,
getting into the Twitter Dirk segment. You ready to go?
Yeah. You want me to lead this off?
Yeah, I need you to get yours out there. It's killing me. I want to know what it is.
All right. So, again.
Brought to you by.
Okay. Our Twitter Dirt segment, which is brought to you by Elite Mobile Detail, LLC. They'll come to you. They'll clean it up. If you need to, I believe that he does the ceramic coating protection, the scratch and dent. Well, he doesn't do dent, but the scratch removal and cleanup is top of the line. Before and after. You just got to go to his Facebook page and take a look at him. And he's numbers. Quite the photographer for that. I mean, those are good shots of those cars.
Yeah, he's all right. He's better at cleaning. But hit him up at 832-540-8013. Check him out on Google. Other people's reviews besides ours, check him out. He's got some good ones on there, and give him a call.
All right. So this is more or less a Twitter Dirt thread that started with one Ryan Folks, which if you don't follow him, amazing follow, especially on the baseball side. And if you're a baseball or Razorback baseball fan, you already know the name. But he talked about that we were trying to get 13K at Baum. It was kind of a hashtag. I think it was 13K at Baum was the hashtag. And he mentioned that we didn't get that 13, but we did notch our second biggest series attendance, and that was 31,871 across all three games. And that averages out to about 10,624 per game. And, you know, that third game, the weather was a little iffy. But whatever. Anyway, an LSU fan decides to chime in for whatever reason and gets on there. And honestly, I'm not going to say his handle because it's completely inappropriate. So that tells you about LSU fans that they want to be addressed by.
His handle is?
Yeah, his at is completely inappropriate. So we'll save that. Anyway, he says... Every away series LSU plays, the attendance is huge for that team because, one, our team travels, which ups the attendance, and everyone wants to go watch LSU. We're the biggest baseball school in the conference. Let's see your average attendance next week. Won't even be close.
Well,
alrighty.
No, it's going to be zero next week.
Here's the deal. Spoiler alert for you dipshit. It's going to be zero, okay? We're on the road, but I can guarantee you it's going to be higher the next weekend when we're hosting a regional.
Coming in hot with that dipshit.
Oh, my gosh.
So
it all starts with his handle. Like you got to find the thread. I'm not going to do it. You got to do the research. Just find it. It's going to be worth your time. You're going to get a giggle, and that's probably what he wants with a handle like that. But if that's how you want to represent yourself, more power to you. But you're going to sit there and say, because LSU is the biggest team, freaking A, man. Like, come on. It's so aggravating. And then, like, they travel well. Omahawks. Go watch the College World Series of last year and tell me who travels better. Oh, I guess LSU didn't have to travel because they weren't there. They won't be there again. Yeah, did you find it?
I found it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you see Ryan's response to it? Ryan Folks' response to it?
Actually, yes, I do have that one up.
I can read it right here if you want me to.
I got it. Y'all, I hate to say it, but I think Kyle, who is the one that said it, is right. I mean, look at the numbers. Arkansas is averaging just under 10,000 fans per SEC game, and when we played LSU, we had two crowds over 11,000. Thank God LSU came to town or nobody would have showed up. And again, that's why he's an amazing follow on Twitter. And
yeah, that's pretty good. The name is interesting. That's
It's a playoff of his last name, but
we'll, right, yeah.
So, whatever.
So mine's kind of a good one, by the way. My favorite, the highlight of that. We need to make a loop of dipshit, because you came in hot with that.
So there's gonna be a mixtape of Woo Pig and dipshit. That ain't right.
Woo Pig dipshit.
That's a t-shirt right there, I tell you.
So. My Twitter dirt's kind of not, it's not dirt in what I found, but it's dirt in why I found it. Does that make sense? It doesn't even really to me either, so don't worry about it. So, we all know Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, is a sleazy, old, wrinkly man, right? And he got, what did he get for this fall? Did he indict it or...
Yeah, he got indicted and
yeah, all that shit.
We'll have to kind of figure out the other things. Last I heard, they were talking about dropping them if they didn't already.
Yeah, working about it, yeah, or working on it. But it says the judge will suppress the video of him in the spa. So, exactly.
No one wants to see that.
My dirt is, thank you. Like, who the hell wants to see that old red-faced bat doing whatever the hell he was doing in that spa?
Yeah,
you better suppress that for the safety of humanity. And I was reading a little bit more about it, and it kind of got worse because
the details of his arrest. No. Oh, okay.
one of the follow ups was the story on judge ruling Robert Kraft footage cannot be used as evidence. Note: this doesn't have an immediate impact on whether or not the video will be made public. Please don't.
TMZ gets that stuff, man. There's just some things that shouldn't be. And from what I've heard and what has been said, especially details-wise about, like, acts and the particular moment that they came into the establishment, shall we say, I don't need to see that on film because just reading it in black and white letters made me want to throw up. So no thanks.
Yeah. More, like I said, it's kind of a weird Twitter dirt, but I just, whatever the judge's name is, I just want to thank you for doing your job.
And TMZ, if you do find a way to get that released, you might end up on a burning me up or burning you up segment. So.
Exactly. So, that was actually an unintentional segue into football, you know, Patriots and everything. But we got some football news today, actually.
It's happening, yeah.
Decent amount. You want to start us off with the obvious that we saw today?
The news that broke today with TJ Hammonds.
Yeah.
Announcing that he is coming back. We're getting a little more depth at
he says,
running back.
Back.
Yeah, it wasn't as drawn out. He should have drawn it out a little bit.
Well, the K's were drawn out. I was like, back. I don't know. But yeah, he's coming back. We don't really know Obviously, Morris didn't release much on it. There wasn't a whole lot of news on it, really, other than the fact that he was not on the team.
Yeah, that's at the beginning of spring practice. So take that for what you want and do what you want with it, because now it's completely old news, because he's on the team now, adding that depth. And he's a player that should thrive in a system like this. And
it's the one we were looking forward to. One of the biggest ones we were looking forward to.
I honestly think he spells better with Boyd than Whaley does, honestly. So
Whaley's just...
He's not the same guy this year.
Well, he really hadn't been. He's kind of... I don't know. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
That's another day for when we get real close to football.
Exactly. But so what's interesting is, like I said, we don't know exactly why he wasn't on the team. Like you said, it could have been academics. Could have been something personal. Could have been... Not saying he did, but he could have done something, you know, kind of against team rules and stuff like that. We don't know. But Scooter came out on his tweet when TJ Hammonds tweeted that he's back, and I unfortunately did not save that tweet, but he says something to the effect of, get your head right, there's a lot of people counting on you.
This time. Yeah, something like that.
Get your head right this time, a lot of people counting on you out here. That's what it was.
Yep.
And that's kind of leading us more to believe that it was something more on the personal side of things while he wasn't on the team, but... actually Mike Irwin retweeted Scooter's tweet kind of talking about his leadership and stuff like that, which is true. And hopefully the time away hasn't, you know, been too much. That we're looking at, what, at this point, about 3 months, 2-3 months that he's not been with the team. But good news if he's still got that speed and explosiveness and everything, good news for the team. And like you said, adds depth to the running back position that's already kind of laboring a bit to pull corners.
Yeah, we had to pull cornerback, and for all intents and purposes, he was kind of a highlight of the spring ball. Jordan Curtis was, so.
Yeah.
Good to have you back, TJ Hammonds. Excited to see you bust off some long runs, because we know you can.
We know you can. Dude's got speed. Also, speaking of Scooter, he ran for the first time today after his knee surgery. Said it felt... quote unquote straight. So good. Felt good. He liked running on it. And, or liked the way it felt when he ran on it. Gotta be happy that surgery took place when it did. Plenty of time to get ready for the season. And like he's doing right now, rehabbing, finally getting run on it again and all that. So that's, really probably the biggest news today as far as the whole team aspect goes. Cause he's a big, obviously tackling machine. Yep. Don't really even need to say that. And just his leadership in general.
3.5 months away.
That's such a long time.
Yeah, I know. I thought it sounded good in my head when I said it. I was like, hey, it's getting close. And then I realized that's 3.5 months without football. So, still a long ways away. But we've got official visits and all that good stuff. And we've got offers. And kind of wanted to hit you up with something today here. It's been reported that... they are going to offer, well, they've offered multiple. I don't know how to word this, but they're going to sign.
You're doing terrible right now.
they're going to sign one quarterback for the 2020 class. We've currently got 5 on the roster.
That's one too many.
And who do you think it will? And... I mean, the obvious, or the kind of one that jumps out is Chandler Morris. And,
why is that? Why does Chandler Morris jump out?
I feel like that last name is just kind of something attached to the program.
Because he has the same last name as the coach?
Yeah, something like that. He couldn't be the coach's son or anything.
No, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Texas, and Arkansas's in Arkansas. So there's no way it's Chandler Morris.
No.
Yeah.
So interesting.
So, yes.
They're going to offer one.
Well, they've offered multiple.
I'm sorry. They're going to sign.
See, it is difficult.
No. That was your fault. You started that crap.
All right.
So, we have 10 right now offered, you said?
Well, yeah, we've offered 10. I believe 3 have already committed for whatever
that's
worth.
Which means nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one committed, I think, to Clemson. So that actually
the best
be
quarterback
gone.
In the nation, and
yeah, he's gone. But well, I'm not even going to answer that. What do you think?
I asked you the question. Okay, so
where is your head at? Because I have kind of like three opinions on that, I guess. So if he's the best, get him, right?
Right.
But then a lot of people talk about the whole allegiance thing with Arkansas for whatever reason. The Allens, the Dicks, that's all I got right now. But, I mean, just, you know, the Henrys, which if you have a problem with the Henry legacy here, then you can just go on and find something else to do.
Get out.
But, yeah, what do you think? I just squirm the hell out of that. I love that. It's on you now.
I think in the aspect of will he, like,
no,
will
not
he
will
come?
He, should we?
Should we? No. Because, honestly, I don't think a quarterback from the 2020 class will play meaningful downs for the Razorbacks.
Ever? Just yeah, ever. By the way, it's kind of spaced?
Yeah, just with how we're at currently with the room. We're both pretty much on the record, probably 3 or 4 episodes in this 21 episodes that we've done, of saying that KJ Jefferson is kind of going to be that guy.
We speculate,
and when you look at it, we've got Ben Hicks, who's pretty much...
He's going to be a starter.
He's going to be a starter this year. Then you have Starkle for the following.
So just for the chronological ordering here, that's a redshirt year for Jefferson.
Yep.
That's one burned eligible year for Jefferson with Starkle. So now we're left with...
A redshirt sophomore year.
Yeah. So we're left with 3 eligible years with Jefferson.
Yep.
Which would put a 2020 quarterback with only 1 or 2, depending on if Jefferson stays for a 5th-year option, if something weird happens there.
Right.
So I agree with you on that. Didn't even think about that until I just talked it out with you right here on air.
So, and then you kind of just look over the recruits that are out there, at least the ones we committed. And there's a big drop-off after that Clemson quarterback, DJ, whatever his last name is. He's not a Hog, so don't care.
Don't care, right.
And it's a big drop-off in terms of skill, but it's relatively... I mean, he's a 5-star, number one in the nation when it comes to quarterback position, and then you've gotten low 4-star ratings, and then high 3-star ratings seems to be where we're at with the offers.
Actually,
so.
Glad you said that, because on some platforms, Chandler Morris is a high 3, assuming he plays his way into a 4-star after his senior year. And we also have a Jacoby Criswell, is that right, for another QB offer we have out of Morrilton?
Yeah, and that's honestly a guy that, okay, I have nothing wrong with Chandler Morris. I think Jacoby Criswell has a better game. I feel like
most have him as a 4, right?
He's
high 3, 4. He's kind of Chandler.
He's right there. I mean, the obvious comparisons, but it definitely seems that it's kind of cooled off on him, maybe on the recruiting side. But I think he wants to be a Hog. So I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say he's going to be, or you know, mark it up. You heard it here first. We don't do that. We hear it. We talk about it. You guys listen, you join in. That's the whole point of it. We're not going to put a website out there that, you know, just shotguns, oh, he's going to be a Hog, or, you know, 3 years before it actually happens and hope it happens so you can be that guy. You know, we're not grabbing to break the news. So.
Can't do that on podcast.
Nope, can't do that on podcast. Until we live, maybe we break some news on live stuff. It's going to happen.
Not anytime soon. We're going to do the slow and steady wins the race. No, but so the thing with Chandler, I think the most is I almost feel like it would be detrimental to him in his, and not even the whole, you said you don't think a 2020 will play. I'm just saying having your dad above your shoulder every day. I don't think that would do well for him. He's got a good game. He's a good quarterback. You would assume only going to get better, but I think, I mean, he's got offers from us, OU, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Auburn. That's his major offers. I don't think Auburn would be a bad place for him, and he'd get to play his dad every year.
You think SEC? I mean, I am all for him, you know, being a hog, first of all.
Right, that's not what we're saying. Right.
You know, but if he had to go to a different university, I feel like it would be outside of the SEC.
Why do you think that?
I don't think I would want to play my dad.
I would love to. See those tears come down his face.
Is that a question we should send out to the Twitter? If you were Chandler Morris, would you play your dad every year?
Would you want to play your dad?
Yeah. Would you want to play again? Yeah, there it is.
You know what's interesting, though? He has no big Texas schools offers. A&M, Texas.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. There's SMU.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, there's SMU and North Texas. Some of those guys are on the offer list, but... Yeah, I'm surprised that a Texas one hasn't came out, and you know.
Maybe they just know he don't want no part of it.
You think that's what Chad wants though?
What's like, that? Him to go to a Texas school?
No, him to come to Arkansas. I mean, he's
him to come to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Well, no. So that's kind of my other thing is he seems like the kind of dad that wouldn't want to do that. Like, I feel like he would kind of want Chandler to go and be his own man. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. We don't know him personally. We don't know Chad personally. So he comes off as a guy like that. Like wouldn't want his son, but he did offer. So.
Right. And that's strictly saying that they only, sign one. That's just reports right now. If they squeeze, you know, some room, I don't know what you would do with 7 or 8 quarterbacks in your room. At that point, you might have to, you know, rebuild and make a bigger quarterback room. So,
yeah, there might be another addition there.
Yeah, they might be hitting up the donors and the Razorback Foundation to try to get more money for the QB room, and that'll be the talk that we're talking about next year. They're expanding the QB room.
you gotta think. I mean, I don't know I do know that, but you don't even have to offer one. Like, you don't even have to sign one. I'm kind of surprised they even really are, especially since, like you were saying, the depth there this year is kind of mid-tier compared to other years in the as far as the QBs go.
Right.
But, no, that's an interesting question. I say if I was Chandler Morris, I don't come to Arkansas.
All right. Well, with that being said, we do have guys that are committing and being Hogs. Savion Williams, the most recent one, just keeps adding to the wide receiver room. We added depth to running back today, and you know, a few days ago we added some depth to wide receiver, and it is a tall room, isn't it?
It's, yeah, we got Savion Williams at 6'4", 215 pounds, who is a 3-star right there on the cusp of, with a good year, he could be a 4-star. Of course, if he stays committed to us, he'll probably go down to a 2-star. Then we got Xavion Capers, who is 6'4", 215 pounds, who have him at most places have him at a 4-star, some have him as a 3. And like I said, he's 6'4", so there was a tweet today, can't remember the source, but it's, was it Steve Sullivan, actually?
Yep.
I think, yeah, he said that we would have one of the tallest receiving corps in the nation. So, cool.
I mean,
then we got,
if you look at it, just kind of spitballing. You know, I'm not got the numbers in front of me at all. It's obviously the average is over 6 foot. It's probably 6'1", 6'2".
6'1" is what I'm thinking, yeah. Probably. And then we got Mason Mangum, who is at 6 foot, 175 pounds, but another 3-star who's right on the cusp of 4-star, probably a little bit too far down. He'd have to have a pretty good season to boost up into the 4-star range. But nonetheless, 6 foot, 175 pounds. He could be a little Edelman, if you will, for us, and maybe even I don't know. 6 foot, getting out wide, that'd be kind of, I don't see that happening too often. But hey, little quick sucker. So we're sitting at 26th right now overall rankings.
For what that's worth, that's 7 3-stars, and give or take, we got a lot of, you know, the bigger programs move towards, and this is obviously way early. So take that with what you want. I mean, we're just here telling you. So.
Yeah, exactly. But it is kind of cool. I mean, we haven't been in the top 30 this early in quite a while, so fun to watch anyway.
And
kind of like watching the stock market.
We've got our tinfoil hats on when it comes to that. Like, we feel like some rankings definitely drop when it comes to committing to Arkansas. But hey, that's us being Arkansas fans. Hudson Henry. I don't get it.
Number one tight end in the nation is not a five star after he commits to us. That's not tinfoil at all. That happened.
Yeah, and they actually dropped his rating to where he wasn't the number one. He ended up being
two or three.
Yep.
The fellow that went to OU, who was number two all year long, season was over. Boom. Committed to OU. Guess what? Number one tight end in the nation.
Yep.
Nothing, absolutely nothing changed. They were done playing. No more stats being added. That's not tenfold hat, man. It happened.
It happened.
If Hudson would have committed to Alabama, he might have been a six star. Who knows?
Yeah, they would have changed the rating system at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, that's true. That's not conspiracy theory at all.
Well, we've got some stuff. We got some stuff in the mail.
Yeah, we kind of screwed that up a little bit, didn't we?
What's that?
We had a plan on where to put that, and we just wrapped through it.
That's all right. We read it.
We're getting to it either way.
We're getting to it. We saw it, and here it is, your NWA Streetworks mailbag. NWA Streetworks is your local performance shop from brake jobs, engine swaps, nitrous, force induction, dyno tuning support, or full customs. You can reach them at 479-549-3622. And I mentioned it previous episode, I will be tagging along with them at the end of June for Rocky Mountain Race Week. I peek into my personal Twitter page, and I might be giving some updates, and I might be talking about it on the show when it gets closer to that, but it's a fun time. If you don't know what it is and you enjoy cars and all that good stuff, take a look at it. It's a lot like a Hot Rod Drag Week, but again, this is your NWA Streetworks mailbag. All right, so let's see what we got here. This is why we said it was a little weird. We should have probably maybe brought it out with the baseball, but the question is, what's your opinion on the club boxes out in the hog pen? I like the idea, and the view from the upper deck looks nice. For the folks, they definitely kind of zoomed in on them more in the broadcast, it seemed like. For the folks that don't know, we at the university grabbed, what is it, three or four? They like repurposed shipping containers and painted them up red, and they've made them all the stuff that you would get inside a club suite with the niceties of the hog pen in the aspect of bringing in your food. You have a TV in that container. There's a like bar, fridge. It's got all the bells and whistles. And then it's also got an upper deck that you can go and sit on, bring your folding chairs and sit on to that and watch the game from the hog pen, but also be highfalutin type. So,
did you just make up a word?
What? Falutin?
Niceties?
Niceties? Sure.
Is that a word?
Whatever. Do you understand what it means?
I did. That's okay. I mean, it might get you a little name recognition there if you heard him get that in Webster's. Niceties.
Niceties.
We're going to, well, you tell him. You're the host. Break the news.
We gonna do that.
We gonna do that.
So there will be a JRD Hogcast shipping container box suite in the hog pen next year for one or two games. We don't know quite yet.
All of them.
Well, we'll see what we can do. But
go big or go home, bro.
We definitely gonna show some love for some of the listeners, especially the foundation listeners that keep building us up here. And there might be some ticket giveaways and a lot of big things coming. You want to stay tuned?
We are working on a lot of things.
Yeah, so
I'm giving you crap about that, but we are working on a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going. Stay tuned on the Twitter page at JRD Hogcast and keep interacting.
We will keep
building,
trying to buy your love as often as we can.
Hey now. So, but yes, we will be doing ticket giveaways and that whole deal, because you can have a pretty big squad and we'll have all the niceties.
All the niceties you can think of.
All the niceties you can think of. But ultimately, let's get to the question here.
Oh, yeah. We forgot all about that, right? Didn't we?
We're, you know, taking the time to make an announcement out of the deal. I love it, obviously. We're, you know, going to have one. The idea of being able to do the outside food, it's relatively affordable with the price point per person and all that kind of stuff if you get a big squad to go. And that's what we're going to do. And
it's cool because you kind of get a tailgater's atmosphere, but you're also in a suite. It's really cool how they designed that. And my thing I'm looking forward to the most is the top. Because you can go up there, throw some chairs up there. Badass view. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better view, in my opinion, as far as an outdoor on a good day. If it's raining, I want to be up underneath. But, you know, just fantastic view, and you pretty much get to see everything.
Yep.
Like, it's pretty awesome. Just don't drink too many beers and then try to walk up to the top.
And apparently don't have too much food to the point where you look like a concession stand, because these drunk guys will come up to you and try to buy a hot dog off of you, fully thinking it's a concession stand. Because guess what? I watched that.
You don't drink. When you're drunk, everything looks like a concession stand. You're just hungry. You don't care where you're getting it from.
Oh, man.
I completely
forgot about that. I was on my way to actually get a hot dog on the other side.
At an actual concession stand.
In passing, I walked by one of those. Some guy that's completely trash goes up to one of the people in those boxes and says, "Hey, can I get a hot dog?" And he's got the money in his hand.
I probably would have said, "Sure." Took the money and
right
out to you.
That poor lady said, "Sir, this isn't a concession stand." And he just started looking at it like.
I wish people could see your face so they could really enjoy that.
Well,
it's not.
It looks like one. So, but yeah.
Or we just cook enough and then we can sell.
I'm sure the university will love that. So.
Hey, it's my booth. I can do what I want with it.
You don't tell me what to do.
Hey, this nice lady came out with, 10, 12 cupcakes left over from whatever they had going on there and handed them out.
And with how rickety those bleachers were, that was a mad rush to them.
A little scary there, yeah.
Yeah, she definitely could have just got ran over just because gravity works that way. You're at the bottom, they're at the top. Something you got to give.
Well, so people ran down there, took them all. I was really I couldn't decide if I wanted to or not. I didn't. By the time I decided I wanted to, they were gone.
I was watching guys drink lighter fluid.
Yeah. Whole lot of icing left on that tray she brought over. And the woman behind me is like, "Can I have that tray?" I'm like, "I'm right there with you. I would lick that sucker clean, man. There was a lot of icing left on it."
I didn't know you were that drunk.
Anyway, so moving on. Worst part about that was the, 10-minute. So I held the peeing as long as I could. And then like a 10, 15-minute wait in line. Ugh. Miserable.
Well, let's see.
We ending on that note?
No, we're not ending on that note. Oh, it's okay. And I just want to kind of wrap. Keep an eye out, I guess, next year now at this point. We will have one. And to answer your question, I believe we both love it.
Love it.
And we'll have a JRD Hogcast one. And keep them coming. You can join in the action. You can be part of the NWA Streetworks mailbag at Twitter, at JRD Hogcast. Or just using the hashtag JRD Hogcast, whichever one you prefer. DM if you don't want us to say your name, all that good stuff. We thank you so much for listening. The downloads, we say it pretty much every episode. Thank you. And keep on growing. We've got plenty of stuff. Stick with us. Football season's going to be great. Tons of stuff. I know they're teasing. I know we're teasing, but definitely good things go to people that wait, right? Is that absolutely what it is?
So. Good things come to people or to those who wait.
There you go. Appreciate it. But for JRD Hogcast, I am Dylan Lee.
I am Jordan Russell. And piggybacking off of him, thank you all guys so much. Just keep listening.
And thank you, Luke Griggs, our producer, for helping us out, doing all the stuff that we don't know. And until next time. Until next time, woo. Pig Suey. She's still